Welcome to Cowboy Church. So glad that you could join us. We have got a lot of newcomers tonight. Special welcome to the Biker Church, Pastor Sly and some of his flock. Glad that they could join us tonight. We don't have a hitch and rail out front, but at least we got a spot to park the bikes. So that's awesome. I know that there are some other new folks here this evening. There are some folks that have come back after a long time away. Welcome back. We're glad that you're joined. Glad that you have joined us tonight. Why don't you go ahead and have a seat? I won't keep you standing the whole time. Let me just read a couple of verses and then we'll pray. By the way, some of you probably wonder why we always do all fly away. We used to do it at the end of the service. Now we do it at the beginning. For me, it's an always reminder. Let me say it that way. I'm breaking in a new tongue tonight. Someday, one of these days, I may meet Jesus face to face. Maybe today. One of these days is going to be right. And as we get ready to worship the Lord, this is an amazing reminder. The start of our service, hey, that's the focus. That's the hope. That's where our eyes are set. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'm gone. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever, for your loving kindness toward me is great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to gather together and to celebrate you. And Lord, I'm just excited to be here tonight and to be able to interact with so many of your kids and just to be together. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to gather. And Lord, I ask that as we go through this time that you would add your blessing to this time and that you would speak into our hearts and that in our hearts you would find the responses that you're looking for. Thank you, Father. Please be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Jamie, I think you've got something that you want to do for us.
All right, we have a presentation. Well, I don't need to get that close. We have a presentation here that we'd like to do. Now, Leanne has been working real hard this past, I think it's more than a year, but she's been learning to read through Scripture, and she's been working every day, and Carol's going to come up and with Leanne, and she's going to talk a little bit more about that, but we'd like to make a presentation to her. We just decided as a church board, we'd like to recognize all the hard work that she's been doing, and so I'll just have Carol come up with Leanne and explain to you all. Carol's the one that's been, she's been helping Leanne out and listening to her readings and stuff. And so I'm just going to have Carol talk about what she's been doing with Leanne.
Thank you. This past, I'm not sure how many months, Leanne and I have talked every night for probably 5-10 minutes every night, going over Bible verses. She has read her verses to me, and it's amazing the progress. Just to be able to get some of those words that we take for granted that we can read. How many times, you know, just taking the simple words and to be able to do that. And she has done an amazing job over the last little bit. And so tonight I am just thrilled to help present this Bible to her. And this Bible is in the version that we have been reading through in the last little while. And I am thankful for Leanne that been able to read the Bible. So, good job.
Praise God. This is the Bible we've got for her. It says in the front, it says, presented to Leanne Montgomery in recognition of your journey in learning to read the Bible from your friends at the Cowboy Church, July 2021.
the readings and that, and some words are very
easy,
difficult.
All right, blessings on you, Leanne. And we pray that your journey forward with your readings will continue to be the blessing to you and the blessing to Carol as well. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Carol. Every month I get a reading list ready for Leanne and send it to her, and she works through the verses. And so it's been an amazing journey and a joy to watch her learning to read by reading scripture. So some other announcements that I want to make mention of. Next week is Communion Week. It sounds a little bit different than it has been because we're doing communion twice next week. Some of you may not know, every week I do a little video, a 15-minute video or so, posted onto our website, and for the last year and a half, that's where we've been doing communion, is through the video, and that will continue. I know some of you are not real comfortable doing communion in person. That's okay. Communion will continue with the videos as well, but next Friday we will be having a communion service here in person. So we're looking forward to that. So plan on being here. Again, if you're not comfortable with doing communion in person, that's okay. Please still come. It'll still be a full service, and we'll enjoy the regular service. And if you choose to not participate in communion then, that's perfectly all right. The 22nd of August, Sunday afternoon, is the church picnic. There's a black table towards the back. There's a sign-up sheet on that table. Please, if you're planning on coming, sign up so that we know approximately how many people are coming, as well as so that we know who's going to bring salads and who's going to bring desserts. Depending on your last name, that's what will dictate whether we're asking you to bring a salad or a dessert. So please check the sign-up sheet. That's going to be out at Wes and Gloria's place, out at the Ark. There are maps back there that will help you find their place. So if you have any questions, come talk to me. The 25th of August is our monthly day of fasting and prayer. We just had it this past week, an amazing time of just sitting in God's presence and being together with Him. So plan on that. Mark your calendar. The 28th, again, the church is open for 12 hours that day. You can just come and sit in quietness, do some meditation on Scripture, and spend some time in prayer and spend some time with the Lord that way. If you would like to serve, if you'd like to volunteer at Cowboy Church, please come talk with one of the board members. Let us know, and we would be happy to see where we can fill out the family of God that way. I mentioned the fact that I do those videos, the services as well that we do, the audio is posted every Saturday. If you would like to get the emails that I send out an email anytime one of those is posted. If you would like to get those links, please come talk with me and I'll put you onto that list. If you don't ask, you don't get. So they're all there, but if you'd like to get those emails, come talk with me.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I'm reading from New International Version Bible, and I'm reading in Romans 12, verse 3. I'm going to start reading there. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you, for you just as rich. Each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same functions. So in Christ we thought many form and body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If the teaching, then teach. It is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is led, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love most, be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people as low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. And on contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
We're going to take a bit of a break from our look in James tonight. But we're not taking a break from our series of growing the body of Christ. So 4 weeks ago, we took a look at the G word. As we go through this whole series about growing the body of Christ, there's a lot that is up to us to act out in our own lives. I mean, it's like, you know, we have several people that we know of that we prayed for that are struggling and are stricken right now with cancer. And each one of those cells as individual cells is important, whether it's following the right path or following the wrong path. And those that follow the wrong path can really destroy the body. And it's no different in the church. When we as individuals begin following the wrong path, we have the potential of really destroying the body that we're a part of. And so that's why, as we're going through this series on growing the body of Christ, it's a little bit strange, but we've been looking at the book of James. James, of course, is like the Proverbs of the New Testament, filled with instructions, filled with very practical advice, very practical instructions, and looking to see how we as individuals interrelate in our own lives and interrelate with each other as we are so interconnected as the body of Christ. But, you knew there was going to be a but in there somewhere, but there are times when we need to step back and say, okay, what about us? What about corporate church? How can we grow that way? And so we're spending some time every month, one Sunday. You'd think after 4 years I'd get it right. Friday. One Friday a month, we spend time talking about growing the body of Christ corporately. And not only our personal responsibilities in our own personal lives, but our responsibilities in church corporate. And tonight's one of those nights. 4 weeks ago, as I mentioned, we talked about the G word. We talked about words that are anathema, that we're not allowed to say, that we get our mouths washed out for using. And oftentimes, as Christians in a church context, pastors are often taken to task if they talk about the G word. And that, of course, is giving. And we talked about that 4 weeks ago, so relax. We're not talking about the G word tonight. We're going to talk about the S word instead. So tonight we're talking about the S word, and that word is serving. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, if you don't have your Bibles, why not? You came to church, right? Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Actually, if you don't have a Bible and would like, there are some Bibles along the back wall that you're welcome to use while you're here. You're welcome to do that. First Peter, I'm just, buckle up, folks. I'm going to talk about two verses tonight, so you know we're in for a long sermon. Those of you who are new don't realize that when I talk about one or two verses, we're good for a couple hours. If I'm talking about a whole chapter, yeah, we could be done that in 15 minutes. So we're hitting two verses tonight, so get comfy. 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read two verses. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's ask the Lord to be our teacher here this evening. Father, as we spend time in your word, I ask that you would open our hearts to what it is that you want to say. And Lord, as I stand here and I speak, Father, I ask that it would be your words, not mine. Lord, please let people see you tonight, not me. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You're the important one here, Father. Please speak into our hearts your words. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a really slow walk through these verses that I just read, and it's kind of interesting. When we read through the verses and blow through them, it's like, yep, got that, know that, yeah. But when we stop and we look at it word by word, phrase by phrase, it's amazing what we can see that perhaps we have overlooked before. So we're going to take a slow saunter through these verses. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's start at the beginning. As each one. If you are here tonight and you are a child of God, you have a spiritual gift. Period. I don't care what you think, because God says that you got one. And I trust God more than I trust you saying, I don't think I've got one. I don't know what it is. Well, hey, not knowing what it is vastly different than not having one. Not knowing how to use it is vastly different than not having one. If you are here tonight and you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have confessed Him as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, as Romans 10 says, you have a special gift. Peter says, as each one. If you're here as a Christian tonight, you have one. You may not know what it is. That's a whole different ball of wax. That's a whole different question. And if you're in that situation, come talk with me, please. I mean, after the service, not now. I would be happy to interact with you on that and to sit with you and see if we can discover what that is. But know that each one of us, God doesn't exclude any. God doesn't play favorites. There's a whole whack of them. And if you want to look farther into that, read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Read Romans chapter 12 like we just did. Thank you, Grace. By the way, let me ask you a question. Romans 12 through 14, an amazing, sorry, not Romans, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, an amazing section on spiritual gifts. He starts in verse 1 of chapter 12 and goes all the way through to the end of verse 14. Sorry, the end of chapter 14. I can't speak straight tonight. The end of chapter 14 in his first letter to Corinth, talking about spiritual gifts. Let me ask you a question. What's 1 Corinthians 13? Ooh, the love chapter. Tucked right in the middle of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts without love are nothing. Empty. Meaningless. Without God in them, they don't mean much. As each one has received. What does it mean to receive? No, but close. Have given to you. Not really. It's a gift. It means you accept it. You say, thank you. In Russian, we would say, spasibo. Thank you. As each one of you has received, guess what? It's not something that you have to generate. It's not something that you have to create. God has given it to you as a birthday present, as a welcome to the family present. He has given this to you. Not only is your salvation free, but this gift is free. Let me ask you a question. As a Christian, you know this, so let me ask you this. Who made you? God. Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He has hand woven or knitted us together in our mother's womb. Do you not think that when it comes time for a spiritual gift, God can match something that he wants to do in and through you with what he already created in you? But never confuse talents and spiritual gifts. They are different, but they often work hand in hand. Everybody in creation has talents. Some are harder to find than others, but everybody has talents. Christians have spiritual gifts, an added blessing, an added bonus, an added welcome to the family. As each one has received, you don't have to try to create it. You don't have to try to manufacture it. It's a gift to you, as each one has received a special gift. How many of you like gifts? The rest of you are lying. Oh, did you notice? Rick's not willing to say it's his birthday, but he says he likes gifts. Okay, yeah, we get it, Rick. We get it. Busted. By the way, welcome to Cowboy Church. I figure if I can get you laughing, it's a whole lot easier to sneak some difficult truths in there, and you'll go, oh, wait a minute. A special gift, something just for you. How many of you, when you do your Christmas shopping or birthday shopping for Rick, you spend some time and spend some thought? Yeah, you're not going to live that one down, Rick. You spend some time, you spend some thought, you spend some energy in what would this person like? What would suit this person? How would this person use this? What can we do for Rick that would suit him? I have no clue, by the way. Yeah. Hey, if you got that kind of money, come talk with me afterwards. How much more do you think the creator of the ends of the earth, the Lord of all creation, the one who created you, gives you a special, a unique, a one-of-a-kind, an amazing gift, perfectly suited for what he wants to do in you, first in you, and then through you? It's a gift. You know, Trish doesn't like it very much when I say, hey, babe, how'd you like a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? She goes, sure, I need something new to throw at you. As each one has received a special gift.
Use it! That's what it says.
Imagine. It's July. If you watch TV, everybody's fascinated right now with Christmas in July. I'm not sure when that became a thing, but apart from camp, Christmas in July always happened at camp. Okay. I'll trust you with that. So you spend the next 5-6 months planning, scheming, plotting the perfect gift for your special someone. You know their size. You know what their needs are. You know what they like. You know what their hobbies are. You know exactly what you want to get them, and that it will be perfect. And so Christmas morning comes, or Christmas Eve, depending on if you cheat and open your gifts early. And they open the gift, and it's like, oh, it's perfect. It's amazing. It's the right color. It fits. It's exactly what I wanted. And they go run, and they put it under the bed. 6 months later, where's the gift that I gave you at Christmas? It's under the bed. Well, was it the wrong color? No, it's perfect. The wrong size? No, it's perfect. Did it break? No, it's perfect. Then why aren't you using it? How would you feel as the giver of that gift if your significant someone did that to the gift that you bought them? Not very happy. How much more do you think God feels when you and I don't use the gifts that he gives to us? As each one has received a special gift, employ it. And this next phrase is really the one that we need to get a handle on. It's several words in this phrase, so there's several bits and pieces that we're going to look at. Employ it in serving the Lord. Right? Wrong. What does it say? Employ it in serving one another. See, that's where we get it wrong. We think our spiritual gifts are given to us so that we can serve the Lord. That's not why he does it. Ephesians 4 says he gave us apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists for the building up of the body of Christ. He is glorified, definitely. We'll get to that when we use our gift. But the gifts are given for us to serve one another. We don't, I mean, as a byproduct, we serve the Lord. But we serve each other with our spiritual gifts. That's what gifts are given for. Gifts are given for use in the body of Christ. By serving one another. What was it that Grace read to us from Romans? Romans chapter 12. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We are members of one another, Paul says to the church in Rome. And we need to be members of one another. God gives us gifts to serve each other. I'm going to break the church rules, at least the church rules when I was growing up. I want you to look around. Yeah, go ahead. Look behind you today. Look to see who's in church. Go ahead. Sly is back there waving. Woo, look at me. These are the people that we're serving. These are the people that we're supposed to be using our spiritual gifts to enhance their experience with God, and they are enhancing our experience with God because we are the body. We are the family. This is just a family gathering. We go and do our separate things all week long, and then once a week we get together for a family gathering. We even have food. We must be Mennonite. You know how many Mennonites it takes to screw in a light bulb, right? By the way, before I get into trouble, my mother was a Peters. I am Mennonite. It's okay. Eight Mennonites to screw in a light bulb. One to screw in the light bulb and seven to bring the food. Now you know why I look the way I do. We are to serve one another with our spiritual gifts. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, use it in serving one another. Do you know there's another word that I want to take a look at? We kind of jumped over it. We talked about the one another. But what does it mean to serve? What is essential if we actually want to serve somebody? To know what's needed? Let me show you. To get down on your knees and to be humble before those whom you serve. Serving comes from a place of humility. Not a place of arrogance. Not a place of, look at me, look what I can do. Not a place of self-importance. It comes from saying, this is the best way that I can serve the body of Christ. You know, honestly, that's why I preach and that's why I teach. I struggled with that a little bit when I was in Ukraine. Do I preach and teach to my students there, to the churches that I interacted with, because I know more than they do? I've been to seminary. I've been to school. Do I do that because I'm the great North American teacher who's come to rescue them? No. I come because that's what I have to offer. Serving is an attitude of humility. And if we don't have that, we've missed the boat on 1 Corinthians 13. Serving is putting somebody else before me. Serving is saying their needs are some that I can meet, therefore I need to take care of that. We serve one another. Just like your members of your body serve one another. How many of you have ever tried to eat without using your hands? Anybody have pie eating contests? I didn't say without utensils. Without using your hands. All right, that makes me nervous. I wonder what I'm going to get fed when I get home tonight. We need our hands to serve our mouth. We need our teeth or something similar to serve our stomachs. To swallow a steak whole is really uncomfortable. See, we never think about that, but our body serves each other. All of the parts of our body serve each other, and they take care of each other. Imagine if some of the lesser, the ones that don't get so much attention quit working, and you just started to fill up and were never able to empty. Our body serves each other. The parts of our body serve each other. Why do we have a hard time figuring that out in church? We serve each other. We exist for the glory of God, but as a part of God's family, God is glorified when we cooperate, when we work together. Paul in the book of Romans says, when we tolerate one another. Because some people are more irritating than others, Rick. I mean, yeah, you're my target tonight, buddy. It's not true. I love you, Rick. Folks, we are the body of Christ. Peter tells us, you've all gotten a spiritual gift, so use it and serve each other. Serve one another. Why? Because we want to be good stewards. Steward's a word that we don't have very often in our culture, in our language. A steward in a very wealthy household was responsible. And he was entrusted with all kinds of responsibilities, with money, with tasks, with whatever. And if he was to prove a good steward, he would do well at his tasks. He would carry out what his master wanted to be done, and it would be done well. It would be done to the master's satisfaction, to the master's desire. He would be a good steward. The stuff wasn't his. He was entrusted with it. For the master. We all know the story that Jesus told of the good stewards and the not so good steward. How many of you would like to get to heaven and see Jesus face to face and have him say, good job. Good job. I would. I hope. That means serving one another. Because God has entrusted us with his special gift. I don't know what yours is. Well, some of you I do. Some of you I don't. But I know you've got one. And God has entrusted you with that and said, if you want to be a good steward, you will serve the rest of my family. You will serve my body with it. Because they're going to be serving you with it. With what I have given to them. The manifold grace. I love that word. It doesn't make any sense in English in that context. Ladies, particularly those of you who have a spouse, how many of you have a diamond on your hand? And you love to flash it at people. And you love it when the light catches it, don't you? And it sparkles, and you turn it a little bit, and a different facet catches the light. And you turn it a little differently, and another facet catches the light. Does it make any more sense if I say this word manifold means multifaceted? God's grace is like that diamond. And when you turn it, oh, I see Jamie now. And then you turn it, and I see Grace, I see Gord, I see Rick, I see the manifold grace, the multifaceted grace of God. God's grace reaches down and touches each one of our lives as he gives it to us. And it is so creative because God is creative. There is no limit to the amazingness of God's grace in your life. And he wants you to share that with me. Just like he wants me to share mine with you and yours with each other. This is called serving. This is called using your spiritual gift. As good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. What an awesome, awesome verse. You know, if I know some of you are looking for verses to memorize, and you've asked me, can we do memory verses again? Well, here's one to memorize for this week. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What an awesome, awesome verse. What an awesome bit of encouragement to you and I. Guess what? We're not in it alone. I'm not the only piece of the body. I'm a part of a bigger whole. And as a part, we work together, we fellowship together, we welcome the bikers into Cowboy Church. I think that's so awesome, guys. Thanks for coming tonight. I hope you come again. You will after you see the food later on. We exist to serve one another. We exist to look past the lines that we draw and the labels that we wear. We are the body of Christ, and as such, we are meant to be using our gifts to serve one another. Let me take a quick look at the next verse, the big long one, because it's a lot faster. Whoever speaks, I love the way Peter breaks this down. Peter takes, you know, Paul, Paul is the lawyer. Paul is the theologian. Peter's the fisherman. Paul has massive lists of spiritual gifts. Peter has two. Speaking and serving. Are you doing or are you talking? And he covers both. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. If God has given you a speaking gift, a gift to serve in the front, you have to know the responsibility that comes with that, that you represent God's voice. That when you're standing up here, the weight of God's reputation is on your shoulders. It comes from God. It originates from God. The gift that he gives and the way he wants it used originates with him. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the very utterances of God. In other words, what is it that God has said? You know, that's what prophecy is. Most people think prophecy is predicting the future. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is opening God's word and says, "Thus says the Lord." That's prophecy. That's teaching. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Again, the impetus comes from God. It's not serving to make me feel good, because let's be honest, sometimes serving makes me feel really good. That's not why we do it. We do it because God has asked us to. We do it because that is the best way we can serve God's body, God's family. By serving. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving from the strength which God supplies. Both types of gifts originate with the Lord God Almighty. There's no difference. There isn't one that's better than the other. How many of you would like to be standing here tonight instead of sitting? Yes, I would. You're all very grateful for someone who set up the chairs. You're all very grateful for the coffee that I can smell making across the way. And you're all wondering when this long-winded preacher is going to shut up so we can get at it.
It'll be a while.
The speaking and the serving both originate in the heart of God, because God loves his kids and he wants us to take care of each other. You know why? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever. Phil, you mentioned a prayer request tonight. That the world would see God when they look at Christians. This is what Peter's talking about. When we serve one another, when we are the church, guess what? People outside are going to look and go, "That looks different from the social clubs I belong to." Well, it should, because it's not a social club. It's a body. It's a family. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you that we've been able to sing, to pray, to worship, to celebrate you. And Father, I ask that as we go from here, that you would continue to speak into our lives. Father, that this wouldn't just be an hour and a half spent, that was a lot of fun. But Father, that you would bring eternal results for that. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in each one of us. Thank you for what you have done for each one of us and what you want to do in us. Now may you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. God bless. There's coffee and snacks over this direction here. And have an awesome long weekend.